Listening to Coffee with Kenobi, you are, with Danzy and Corey Club, the podcast you're looking for. This is, yes.
For an entire generation, people have experienced Star Wars the only way it's been possible, on the TV screen. But if you've only seen it this way, you haven't seen it at all.
This is the podcast you're looking for.
We've been waiting for you.
The Force is strong here, even stronger than the coffee.
Welcome to Coffee with Kenobi. Here are your hosts, Dan Z and Corey Club.
Hello, this is Corey Club, and welcome to show number 34 of Coffee with Kenobi, a Star Wars podcast that analyzes our favorite saga in a whole new way. With me is my good friend and co-host, Dan Z.
Hello, everybody. The weeks leading up to Celebration have everyone excited and eager to see what Star Wars announcements are coming our way. With the end of Season 1 of Rebels, convention season in full swing, and major announcements coming out all the time, stay tuned to Coffee with Kenobi for the latest announcements and developments from Lucasfilm. Don't forget to join us at Celebration Anaheim for our appearance on the podcasting stage in Room 208 AB from 11:30 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. on April 16th, as we bring Coffee with Kenobi in a whole new way. We can't wait to see everyone there. Also, join me as I discuss the first season of Rebels with Scott Murray, Amy Radcliffe, and Pete Morrison on the Assembly of Geeks special show, Drinks and Geeks.
Be on the lookout for a few special shows coming your way from Coffee with Kenobi. We had an exclusive conversation with James Arnold Taylor on Celebration Anaheim, and have a show live from Indiana Comic Con with some very special guests. We also have another fantastic conversation with returning guest, Freddie Prinze Jr., as we take a look at the first season of Rebels.
In today's show, Richard and Sarah from Skywalking Through Neverland join us to discuss our topic for show number 34, Fostering Community in Star Wars. This wonderful couple brings enthusiasm and a strong sense of community that is contagious as we look at how to keep growing our Star Wars family.
We also discuss the news of a standalone film title, the release date of Episode 8, discuss the new Topps Trading Cards app. We also have our next offering of your special shot with The Bearded Trio featuring Rob Wainfer.
And now, let's see what's brewing in the Star Wars universe this week.
Oh, wait. This is interesting.
You found something.
I'm about to let everyone in on the secret.
For our first news story, we get some news on the standalone film that was revealed to be directed by Gareth Edwards. You've got the title out of this. Very exciting. It's starring Felicity Jones. And the title is Rogue One. Dan, first thoughts.
Rogue One. Well, I mean, we talked about this with Joa and Amy at Indiana Comic Con, but when I hear Rogue One, I mean, how do you not think of an X-Wing, right? Or an X-Wing pilot or something like that. What about you? I mean, it's interesting to me because, I mean, here's what we know. Written by Chris Weitz, and the idea came from John Knoll, who's, of course, no stranger to Star Wars fans. And it starts shooting in London this summer, and it's going to come out December 16th, 2016. So that's pretty cool. We know basically almost a year, not quite a year to the day, but just a few days before, we're going to have two Star Wars films in a year. That's pretty cool.
That's pretty crazy.
Well, what do you think about the title?
Yeah, the title itself is interesting because, you know, of course, like you said, Rogue One, you instantly think of X-Wing and the fleet there. But, you know, it's funny because it's got another number in the title. You know, we always equate Star Wars films with Episode 1 or Episode 2 and likewise. This is Rogue One. So is this initiating a title sequence of possible exploratory films, you know, sequels and whatnot, Rogue 2, Rogue 3, likewise? I don't think so, but I think it's interesting the fact that maybe it's an introduction to someone who would be you know, the burgeoning pilot of the Rebel Force. You know, and there's,
you said burgeoning just for Craig's benefit.
I did. Well, you, of course. Yes, you know, it's interesting too because it doesn't say Rebel One, which would be maybe, I don't know, a little more predictable. But, you know, it's a Rogue One, so it could be something completely different, too. It could mean a smuggler. It could mean, you know, it could be anybody. It's so obscure in a sense. But, you know, of course, all Star Wars fans jump to an X-Wing, you know, relationship.
I never thought about that. You just sort of opened my eyes to other possibilities for who the Rogue might be or who the Rogues might be. I mean,
sure.
there's certainly an enough precedence there to see that. As far as like the actual title itself, I was a little underwhelmed. I mean, I wasn't disappointed. I certainly was not disappointed. I'm going to get more Star Wars films at a quicker pace than we ever have in our lifetime. But I don't know. We had talked about this again on our Indiana show, but I like the title for The Force Awakens. It pops. It's epic. It's mythological in nature and tone and its scope. Rogue One just sounds
fast-paced.
I hope so. I mean, you know, I'll be certainly seeing it the first day along with everyone else. But and again, I'm not disappointed at all in any way, shape, or form. But I thought, oh, okay. I just think I wanted something a little more mythological in scope. But that being said, Rogue One, dude. Star Wars movie.
Very cool. And I will mention too, you know, I relate the title to you. It's a big draw for folks and fans. And, you know, of course, The Force Awakens relates to the saga as a whole. You know, it's bringing the binding together. You have Empire Strikes Back. It's always something's going on. You know, Rogue One is a to me, it's a person. It's a reversal, I think, a little bit of Marvel's doing. It's not an Avengers film. It's not, you know, it's not something like that. It's not a group film. It's centered on a person. So maybe this one person is the Rogue One. So it centers on them. I would assume Felicity Jones' character, whatever it may be. So maybe that's her call sign or of some sort. So, you know, focusing, I think, on a singular character to branch out into a new era, too. It's not necessarily, it's not, you know, if it was, you know, Star Wars, the galaxy comes alive or something like that. It would just...
I'm glad it's not that.
That was off the top of my head. But I'm glad too. But, you know, it's interesting because it doesn't relate to a host of, you know, a universe. It's specific onto one character or set of characters. I think that's exciting because it sets it apart just enough to be like, okay, this is a little bit different than the natural flow of the saga. So this is definitely a branch off. I think it's a good, solid title because it tells a lot. But I also think that it's also mysterious enough to be like, oh, what's really going on here? So I think it's done really well.
Well, let's extrapolate that too. I mean, you're opening my eyes to things. If it's Rogue One, like this is the first spinoff film. It's sort of a rogue of the Star Wars universe because it's its own little thing. And again, we know next to nothing, pretty much nothing about it. But that's interesting, Corey. I'm interested to see what happens and... We'll keep on going along for this amazing ride of Star Wars 2015 and beyond. But that's not all the amazing news that came out of this press release, Corey, as you know. In fact, I read the first part about Rogue One so quickly, I sort of I saw the A New Hope in 1977. I sort of glazed over everything else. But we've got a date for Episode 8, and it's also officially confirmed that Rian Johnson is writing and directing Episode 8, which is really, really cool. And it's May 26th, 2015. Wow.
Yeah. I think this is crazy.
Because, tell me why.
Well, I mean, we knew we would get Star Wars films one after another like this, but I guess I didn't fully realize, you know, within like a 5 month span, 6 months.
Yeah.
Well, a 5 month span. Yeah. May, let's see, December to May is, you know, 5 or 6 months relatively. But, you know, it's striking to me because, you know, we get some of the saga storyline, then we get a standalone film. Does that connect to the saga in a whole? I would assume it does in some respects. But then again, you know, why not just camp out in front of the theater for another 6 months? Who cares, right?
Well, you know, you may want to take a shower or something.
Or get some food. Yeah,
if
get hungry.
If I'm sitting in line next to you, I hope that you do at some point. I'm excited about this because we're back to May. We're back to Star Wars.
Yes.
May.
Yeah, that's classic.
Christmases of Star Wars, which I got to be honest, if anyone listened to our show where we first found out that Episode 7 was going to be released Christmas 2015, you heard how excited we were about the whole Christmas prospect. In fact, I still, all last Christmas, I was thinking about, ooh, next Christmas I'm going to have a Star Wars movie. So I do love that, but there's something rather poetic about switching it back to a May schedule. And again, unprecedented stuff going on. You had to wait every 3 years for Star Wars films for the first six, which I really liked because I like, of course, between episodes. You know,
some breathe
Return
time.
Of the Jedi in Episode 1, that was much longer than that. But I like the anticipation, but just knowing that we're going to have them in rather rapid succession, you know, considering what we're used to, this is pretty remarkable. So you don't have long to wait, and it just hypes up everything. Talk about faster, more intense. This is what the Star Wars shooting schedule is, and again, take another page out of the whole Marvel blueprint and work beautifully for them. And I see no reason to think that that will not continue here.
Next up, we have our espresso shot with the bearded chair with Rob Wainfer. We apologize on my mistake on some editing mishaps. I happened to edit in the wrong espresso shot from Rob. Our apologies for any folks that got confused and mixed up. That just happens. I'm surprised it hasn't happened before. So our apologies to fans and listeners, maybe taking it back some of the older news that Rob has so keenly reported on for us. We'll definitely update that, and here's a new one just for you.
And now, your espresso shot with the Bearded Trio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to another Espresso Shot with the Bearded Trio, bringing you all the latest news on Spielberg, George Lucas, and John Williams. So let's get straight into the news. Okay, let's address those Indiana Jones rumors that have been going around the internet recently. Deadline have reported that Steven Spielberg is interested in directing Chris Pratt in Indy 5, which Deadline also reported a few weeks ago that Chris Pratt was rumored to be on board. Now, the article reports that the information has come from their source and that Spielberg would be interested in returning to the Indiana Jones franchise if the script was up to a good standard. Now, I was intrigued by this, so decided to do a little digging myself, and I contacted an official source for Steven Spielberg from DreamWorks, and at this moment in time, there is no news on the director being attached to any Indiana Jones project. That's not to say he won't be involved, but at this time, my source told me that he is focused on his latest projects, St. James Place and BFG, based on the Roald Dahl children's books. Now, Deadline do explain that it's early days and there is currently no script. I totally agree with the article that it's a great idea that Spielberg was involved in Indy 5, but at this moment in time, I would just be happy with just an official announcement that Indiana Jones 5 is actually happening. Now, I just want to make you aware of a magazine that you can download off the internet called IndieMag. It's completely free. It's an Indiana Jones magazine from fans, and it has some amazing articles in there. The quality is just outstanding. It's just like buying one of those glossy, expensive magazines. It's called the IndieMag. It's completely free. I'll put the link in the show notes. If you're an Indiana Jones fan, you have to read this. You will not be disappointed. Who do you think is the most thanked person at the Oscars? Well, Vocative website decided to examine 1,396 acceptance speeches. Somebody had to do it. In order to see who had been thanked the most over the years. And guess who came in at number one? Yes, Steven Spielberg. Steven Spielberg has been thanked 42 times during the history of the Oscars, compared to second place person Harvey Weinstein with 34. James Cameron was third with 28. George Lucas, another bearded trio, came in fourth, 23. Peter Jackson, 22, came in fifth. God came in at number six with 19. Other notable mentions, Francis Ford Coppola came in 9th with 16 thanks, and Martin Scorsese came in 10th with just 15. There we go, Steven Spielberg, the most thanked person at the Oscars. Lin-Wen Brennan is the new general manager for Lucasfilm, having been president and general manager of Industrial Light and Magic. She's enjoyed a 16-year career at ILM in her new role. Her new challenge will be to see all operational matters for Lucasfilm, ILM, and Skywalker Sound. She will report to Kathleen Kennedy and Alan Bergman of Walt Disney Studios. Now, she said, "I'm going to be concentrating on the operations of Lucasfilm and to make sure we have a company where everybody can bring their best game, and also collaborating and communicating with our partners at Disney and our partners throughout the Lucasfilm organization, to make sure that we are nurturing the Star Wars franchise in the right way and that we have a long-term strategic vision for the company." And I'm sure you'll join me in wishing Lin-Wen all the best of luck in her new role at Lucasfilm. Now, Reaction Figures will be releasing a set of action figures from the legendary Steven Spielberg and my number one film, Jaws. Now, Reaction Figures in the past have done some fabulous figures. They've done the likes of Goonies, Back to the Future, Alien. And these figures are awesome. They have a very distinct retro feel. They have an 80s packaging, like classic Kenner figures. And they will be bringing out some Jaws figures. They're available to pre-order. They'll be available in July. And you will be able to get your hands on Matt Hooper, Martin Brody, Quint, and, of course, Bruce himself, the big white shark. So make sure you get your orders in so then you can recreate your favorite scenes from my favorite movie, Jaws. Well, there we go. That's all the news. Just one extra bit of news. Star Wars Rebels, Vanessa Marshall, and Clone Wars James Arnold Taylor are set for an animated series based on Guardians of the Galaxy. It will be hitting TV screens sometime this year. It will be on Disney XD. So make sure you check that one out, because with the likes of the voice talents of Vanessa Marshall and James Arnold Taylor on board, I'm sure it's going to be one to watch. So there we go. Thanks for listening. If you have any comments or suggestions, feel free to email me, rob@thebeardedtrio.com. I'll hand you back to Dan and Corey. Thanks again. Goodbye.
Han Solo, Rebel Soldier, Lando Calrissian, and Bespin Guard, each sold separately. From Star Wars, The Empire Strikes Back Collection, new from Kenner.
Looking? Found someone you have, I would say,
Your lightsabers will make a fine addition to my collection.
All right, the news just keeps on coming along. We just got news previously about Journey to Star Wars, The Force Awakens, all the books that are coming out from comics and young adult novels and things like that. Then it sort of was hinted to that there was novels. Now we have something concrete about it. It's the first novel in a series, which is going to be a trilogy, Star Wars Aftermath. You should see the cover. It's by Chuck Wendig. Pretty phenomenal. Here's a brief synopsis for it. The second Death Star has been destroyed. Rumors are flying that the Emperor and his enforcer, Darth Vader, are dead. A new government is forming to replace the Empire. But the galaxy is a big place, and the fallout of this cataclysm will affect different worlds in different ways. Does everyone accept the fall of Imperial rule? Has everyone even heard the life-altering news? What rushes in to fill the vacuum the Empire has left? And who will try to stop them? Corey, boom, your thoughts.
Yeah, you know, you and I kind of talked about this over some texts and some time just hanging out. And, you know, I feel like this is kind of a quick grab a little bit. It's kind of like it's like plugging information in just to kind of catch up to when the new movie comes out. I feel like they're kind of trying to fill in gaps as far as, what's going on thus far with our heroes and what's going on in the galaxy. Now, that's not to say I could be completely and utterly wrong, and I hope that I really am. I really do wish the best for this. To me, it feels like it's a little quick to move. But, you know, the story group has really surprised me in the past with a lot of things that have come out. They seem to be on their toes on everything. Have a good plan. I feel like everybody's moving in the correct cogs in the whole machine of itself. The comics can be working nicely. The new novels are coming out. All the Rebel stuff seems to be moving quickly and really well done. So another positive note too is, you know, it's written by Chuck Wendig, who's got a catalog of all kinds of urban fantasy stuff under his belt, all kinds of like horror stuff, mysteries, thrillers, things like that. It's kind of the weird side of things, but obviously he's got a huge weight of writing on his side, and he constantly does some great work. So, Dan, what are your thoughts as well? I mean, I know you talk in the positive because you're very excited about this.
Well, look at the cover. See how the Death Star is exploding? Mm-hmm. That's my head. I'm very excited about it. I'm always excited about it. We were actually just talking about this in the car with Tom when we went to Indiana Comic-Con. And Marvel had said that there's going to be some comics that are going to tell us what happened after Return of the Jedi. And I thought that was a little bittersweet because I love the comic book medium. But I feel like something we've been waiting 30 years to find out what happened right after Return of the Jedi, when the Empire is in complete disarray and destroyed from the core out. I feel like it deserved more than just some comics. And again, it's not to slander comics. It's more like, wow, we need more. And I remember even saying we need a book. And then I see this and I found out it's part of a trilogy. I don't know if all three books all take place before The Force Awakens or what. But I think this is phenomenal. So phenomenal. And of course, I am a little bit biased because, you know, I'm going to hopefully get a chance to see this book a little bit before it comes out in September. I really can't wait. I've been wanting to see what happens after Return of the Jedi for a long time. Now, I know there's a lot of risk involved. I certainly had mixed feelings about the latest Luke Skywalker book, Heir to the Jedi. So I'm hoping it'll be a little bit stronger than that. And I'm sure that it will. It just, I mean, the cover alone looks really, really promising. Star Wars Aftermath. I mean, this is a dream come true to me, honestly.
You know, in regards to the cover, it is really great looking. It's nice and big. There's no people on the cover, which is surprising for a Star Wars book. You know, usually we have a character on the front. With this, we have the Death Star blowing up, and there's a little X-Wing. I think what causes me some frustration is the title Aftermath. Sounds like,
Like how I felt about Rogue One?
Yeah, a little bit. It seems like it's... let's just wrap things up and let's just, you know, tell the folks some side stories and some fun things that have gone along the way. And I think also the other title, The Journey to the Star Wars, The Force Awakens, it just seems a little bit forced. No pun intended.
No pun intended. We knew we talked about this in our last show. We knew that that was sort of the thing. What other title would you suggest?
I don't think I would do A Journey to Star Wars, The Force Awakens. It seems too commercial to me. I would keep it more
literal to the saga.
You know you're
talking about a $4 billion company, right?
True, but I mean, it just seems like you know, we need a gradual walk into this, and then maybe this is it.
A gradual walk to The Force Awakens.
Possibly. Don't run. Just walk gradually. Yeah. No, it's exciting because, you know, we talked about earlier, a bunch of, you know, things are coming out this fall. And we're going to be, I mean, the merchandising is going to be huge for this film, obviously. And they don't want folks just jumping into seats and just, you know, seeing a new film, which I'm okay with. That's okay with me. But, you know, fans want to know what went on between that 30-year gap. And
sure.
You know, this is it. This is going to be it.
I value and I respect your opinion tremendously, obviously. So tell me how you think this should have been handled differently. If you're sort of like, because I mean, you mentioned the story group, they've surprised you. They haven't done anything but be consistent and keep things tightly connected. So what would I do? Yeah,
I would go back to our first news story. I would title something called Rogue One, and that's our trip back. The 30 years, but not necessarily centering on our main characters. Well, it's similar to what Marvel does.
Yeah.
It's not a flashback movie. Here's young Luke, here's young Han and young Leia doing their thing and, you know, trying to recast that. Here's a story from a different perspective, you know. I think it would still give the history of the 30-year gap. I still think that it would introduce us to brand new characters we can get excited about and still have that background of the Rebel forces rising into, you know, the Empire still trying to grasp hold of control. So I think that would be a nice callback to that in a film format.
Okay, now that makes more sense to me. It's not that the book is fine, but you think this deserves
you're not going
to get an argument from me on that. Now it makes sense why you do.
Yeah, and it wasn't necessarily in my thought process until they did announce Rogue One. So you look at the announcements and how these are coming out like this. So they announced the movie first, right? And they announced the book. It's interesting that, you know, they would do something like that. Why, you know, obviously this stuff's going to come fast and going to come hard, but that's what Disney does. I mean, I think that's all the story group does. They need to get on the pony here and start knocking stuff out, you know.
I think they're doing,
like you said, they're doing a great job. I have any problem with anything that's come out yet, so... I mean, other than the Luke book, I felt really was disconnected. I think they should have dropped that. I mean, hate to say that way, but I think they should have published that Luke book into the Legends line. But I think that the press would have been eating that alive. But
interesting. I think that's pretty valid. I also think that the Rogue One thing, they have to keep building and not distracting from Episode 7, but keeping your appetite whetted for that sort of basic thing. So you can't, you're going to have to put out a book before. I mean, I think when we go in to see The Force Awakens, we've seen the first six films. We're ready, right? We're
sure,
ready.
Sure.
And the casual fan is ready. But for the diehards and the bibliophiles who love Star Wars books,
right,
this is going to add some stuff for them that they can take and look for Easter eggs in the films and how they tie back to the book. Mm-hmm. So this is another example of savvy marketing and savvy storytelling.
Well, my other issue, too, is, you know, what's going to be in this book that won't reveal anything in The Force Awakens? You know, I'm going to be looking for Easter eggs. I'm really looking for these little secrets. And I want to save that for the film. I don't want to be like, oh, this is, you know, this is Dan Zare. This is the new character. And all of a sudden, Dan Zare pops up in the film. Like, oh, they're just doing that just to, you know.
That would be quite a spoiler. Like, I didn't even think it happened.
You didn't know you're in the film, did you?
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
Okay, so boom, collector news going wild. Topps announces their Star Wars trading card app. We got a press release about it, and we've been talking to our friends from Topps about it. And Corey, I know you're dying to talk about this. Tell me your initial thoughts before I jump in with my exploding head.
Yes, you know, it's fascinating because I just downloaded the app this afternoon just to check it out. We got talking about it in the car in Indiana and kind of some thoughts and things. And my first take of it when it first was, you know, announced, I was like, oh, it's a digital trading cards. I that's kind of cool. It's revolutionary as far as, you know, digital age and nowadays and whatnot. And I was like, well, you know, what's the advantage here? What is this, you know, has to do with, you know, is this going to introduce us to some new characters, or is this going to be something that's, you know, going to kind of, like I say, give us some more information about the new film? And it was a little underwhelming for me. I got on and created a name and started opening packages. There's just pictures, like, you know, they're just, looks like the old trading card set, which I never grew up with. So I don't have the passion. I think that's what's missing of this equation for me. I never grew up with the original trading card series. You know, it's interesting because a lot of folks did, and they're very into that. And you, my friend, are very into that. So tell us your thoughts.
I thought you said you, my friend, are very old.
That's too.
Because I'm actually not. This is wonderful. There's the main reason. There are a few reasons why it's great. For one thing, these cards, I grew up with these cards. Mm-hmm. I love them. You know, they're scattered all over the place now, but they're just fantastic. And now you have them digitally, so you don't have to worry about losing them and keeping track of them. And it's free.
Mm-hmm.
It's free to download. You get free credits every day for doing certain little things. So you can use these credits, basically like pretend money, if you will, to buy new packs. And it's a random thing. But now you've got this digital community of Star Wars fans who are exchanging the cards with one another. The red ones are really, really rare. The blue ones are rare. The rest of them are pretty commonplace. And then you can get the Force Awakens cards from what we saw in Entertainment Weekly when they first announced the names of all these characters. And at the time of this recording, I have all of them except for Poe Dameron, which is pretty cool. And if anybody wants to trade with me, it's Dan ZCWK, all one word. So that should be easy. And Corey, what's yours?
Mine is Corey CWK.
There you go. See, I got a bunch of the cards already because I've been playing with this ever since we found out the news.
Mm-hmm.
And it's fun. I know I can see where it can be intimidating, but you've got all the cards digitally in here. You've got the Force Awakens cards, and you can get on the app and you can trade with other people. We're going to have someone from Topps on very, very soon in the future to sort of give us even more breakdown of how this thing works. But it's a ton of fun. If you want to tweet us your card ID for Topps, and we'll add you as friends and we'll do some trading.
Hey, everyone, this is Richard.
And this is Sarah, and we are from
Skywalking Through Neverland.
And you're listening to Coffee with Kenobi with Dan Z and Corey Club.
This is the podcast you're looking for.
Luke, you're going to find that many of the truths we cling to depend greatly on our own point of view.
I must be allowed to speak.
You've taken your first step into a larger world.
Our topic for show number 34 is fostering community in Star Wars. Why is it important to you to foster community? What are some examples you have seen in fandom that foster community? And how can we continue to work to build up our fandom in a positive, productive way? Joining us on this topic are Richard and Sarah from Skywalking Through Neverland. Richard and Sarah set the podcasting world ablaze when Skywalking Through Neverland appeared in September of 2013 with their passion, enthusiasm, and fan engagement. They focus on all the latest in Star Wars and Disney and are incredibly active in the fan community. They are the perfect guests for this topic as they do such a wonderful job of fostering our Star Wars community. We are excited to have a cup of coffee with them. Welcome, Richard and Sarah.
Well, it's going to be very hard to follow that up.
Yeah, wow.
Well, thank you, guys.
You're welcome. It's always easy to tell the truth, and we were very fortunate to be on your show, and we had such an incredible time with that. It was probably one of my favorite interviews that I've been a part of, quite honestly.
Oh, ours too, because we all talk podcast.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. All different language.
That's right. That's right. Same passions and just different avenues, but there's so much there, and there's a lot that I want to ask you, and I'll start with this one. How did the two of you meet, and when did the two of you realize you had so much in common?
We had met at a swing dance party.
A Halloween swing dance party.
We're all in costume.
Nice.
So needless to say, I was Anakin Skywalker. And I come walking in, and I notice across the room, this little, what would you call your like a?
I was a barmaid wench.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, all right. Wow. Anakin.
Now, just as a side note, I knew what she was, but I didn't want to call her a wench.
That's what it was. That was
okay. All right. And she was looking very wenchy, so of course we were drawn to each other, but she came over to me.
Yes.
And she said,
"Can I dance with the Jedi?"
And immediately I was like, okay, let's get married.
Proposed right there. Good.
It's
I got down on one knee and gave her my glove. And so I was very, very surprised that she, and I shouldn't have been surprised because it was 2005 when Revenge of the Sith was big, but she knew what a Jedi was, and that just excited me. So we danced all night long and kind of lost touch after that until January when I went back to that same club hoping she was going to be there, and lo and behold, she was.
Yeah, that was my swing dance club. Every Wednesday night, I'd go swing dancing. So when I saw new fresh meat in the room, I was like, oh, I better go ask him to dance, because otherwise, everyone always asked me to dance, and I never got a chance to dance with the newbies. So,
yeah, we were talking, and she was bringing up Star Wars because she had known that I was Anakin that last time. So she brought Star Wars up, and I'm thinking, wow, this is interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And looking out in Hollywood, I was mainly dating actresses, which I vowed never to do again. So I had two rules for dating: no actresses, no one in their 20s. Well, I broke one of those rules that week.
Yep.
Because Sarah was in her 20s, but she was a very mature girl in her 20s. Mm-hmm. So it really worked out. And me being 12 years older, we were kind of on the same level.
Yeah.
I hear you.
Yeah. And it really took off from there, because on our first date, you know, I don't know about you, but I always make it like a topic list of questions to ask. So when that time
like
comes
podcast,
and we're
like
looking at each other, what's that?
So like a podcast.
So, yeah. Yeah, exactly. So really the podcasting began that night.
So Richard, you were making your list of topics and I was making sure my lipstick was right and what outfit to wear.
Yeah, so you know, we all had our priorities.
Yes.
And that my car was clean.
Always a plus.
Yeah, and I told her I'd be picking her up at 7:34 p.m., which I made sure to get there at 7:34 because I'm usually about 4 minutes behind. And I was right on time that night.
Very good.
And yeah, so I had my list of questions, but before really I got to any of those, we started talking about John Williams and threw the list out from there.
Yeah, it was like the topic was made, a connection was made, and we stayed out till 2 a.m. on a work night.
Wow. Wow. What a story. You guys are that's so sweet. A sweet way to have met each other and to reminisce. It's so neat that you guys have found fandom right off the bat like that. I think that's really cool.
Yeah, that was really, really important for me. If I was going to go out with a girl, she would have to appreciate Star Wars, because mm-hmm. I had dated a couple of girls who one had said, "Now who's Darth Vader?" Yeah. All right, you're out.
Yes.
One girl said, oh, you're one of those? All right, you're out.
Yeah, I think in that context, you know, we recently had our wives on, and they kind of butchered the the trivia section, but, you know, I had their own unique answers. So Dan and I can attest to that as far as them not knowing so much. But, you know, I think it's not so much of them knowing the right answers, but it's also knowing how to, you know, enhance that other person and what they love. But I'm curious to know, too, is, you know, as you guys said, you met and were instantly brought together of their love of John Williams and Star Wars. And I want to know who was the bigger Star Wars fan when you met for the first time, and how did you foster and share that passion for Star Wars and Disney with one another?
Well, I would say that Richard was kind of the bigger fan, but
kind of.
Well, well, you were, but see, my fandom, I was kind of in hibernation. like I had been a huge Star Wars fan in my teens. In the dark times. And then from then, when I got into college, a lot of my friends were more into Disney. And so we go to Disney a lot. I tend to be swayed a lot by my friends. So, you know, I was into that, and I probably wouldn't have gone to any Star Wars celebrations or anything like that. But Richard brought me out of that Star Wars hibernation. And so now I would say I'm just as big a fan, but just in a different way. Like, you're more of a collector, Richard, and I'm more of a, you know, I love the music or, mm-hmm. you know, things like that. So I think that, so yeah.
You both have our different aspects of it.
Yes. Our different aspects of the fandom, I think. And you, I had a Disneyland annual pass. And so did you actually, when we met.
I think mine had just lapsed.
Oh, okay. So I made you a Disney annual pass holder.
Yes. Yes.
Nice. And actually our first Valentine's Day, which was my first Valentine's Day ever with a guy, finally, because I had people always dump me, or I would dump them in January.
But in a way, that can be good, because then you save money.
Yeah, well, exactly. You stay through the holidays, dump them in January, so you don't have to have that.
Your wife is a lucky woman.
Yeah.
Indeed.
Oh. So we went to Disneyland for Valentine's Day. And so we both kind of helped each other. Like, I think you said, Richard, that you always enjoyed watching me enjoy Disneyland.
Yes.
Yeah.
That was a lot of fun. And so that's really what made me get the Disneyland pass, because she was so excited to go back to Disney. And I was on the fence, but I thought, yeah, you know what? To see her so excited about this made me want to get it. And then sharing those moments with each other at Disneyland. And I'm so glad I did it. I'm so glad you talked me into it.
Yeah, and I'm so glad that, you know, you brought me out of my Star Wars hibernation so we can experience all this fun stuff, podcasting and going to Star Wars Celebration together and everything.
Yeah, but needless to say, you were a Star Wars fan even way before I met you.
Yes.
When we had gone back to Texas, where Sarah's from, she had this box of Star Wars toys. And guess who has those now?
Ah, oh, very good.
Yes. Well, that's pretty cool. So it's almost like a role reversal where, Richard, you played the role of Boosh and you broke into the swingers dance at her Chavez Palace and you got Sarah out of the carbon freeze of her fandom.
I like that.
Yeah. Oh, that's cute. Yeah, I could see that.
Very good way of putting that.
So there's a cosplay idea for Celebration.
There you go.
Nice.
Yeah, we may need to explain that to some people, but it's a good idea.
True. So Skywalking Through Neverland, I mentioned at the top of the show, is just a delightful, wonderful show to listen to. Even just talking to you now, like while I'm talking to you, I'm smiling. I probably look like the Joker, but it's just you guys just bring out this wonderful thing in your listeners, which we always have admired. So tell us, how does Skywalking Through Neverland come about?
Well, before I begin that, I just want to say that if you bang a guy's head through a pencil, it's not our fault.
His first trick, yes.
Not that Joker, the friendly one.
The friendly, the Mark Hamill Joker,
the
yes.
The one from, you know, 30 years ago.
Oh, he's a Romero Joker. Okay, all right.
Romero.
Just wanted to paint a picture there.
Yes,
the mustache and everything, yes.
Come on, Sarah.
she's a youngin'. She's a youngin'. Okay, Skywalking Through Neverland. We started this podcast right after we had done our fan film called TPZ, which basically is TMZ in the Star Wars universe.
Which is great fun.
Oh, thank you much. And we had spent about 4 years on this. And then when it was over, dust had settled. I really wanted to get back because I get a film production background. I went to Emerson Film College. I worked in the film business for about 10 years. And so I had this production bug in me. And listening to all these other podcasts, I always thought there's no way we could ever do something like that. And then little by little, I was thinking maybe we can do this because we're doing so much in the fan community and posting it on Facebook and getting a lot of comments by people saying, that sounds like a lot of fun. Tell me more. Tell me more. And then that just fed into, let's dive into this scary world of podcasting and we'll see what happens. Because on a weekly basis, we're just doing so much fun stuff because Disneyland is 20 minutes away, living in Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm. Knowing that 2015, so many events are happening here.
Yeah. So we said, all right, let's hold hands and jump right in and just start podcasting. And since then, it's been so much fun. And our main goal from the beginning was to focus on the fans, because we had noticed that the fan community was its own oxygen. Mm-hmm. And we really wanted to play off of that because there was just so much going on. We were going to kamikazes and Comic-Cons and celebrations, and the fan community really had a life of its own. And it was just so many fun people within that community that to talk to.
Yeah, that we wanted to get to know, too.
Yeah, and you guys are spending so much time on your fan film or your cosplaying outfit on whatever you're doing, but it really needs to be seen or heard by a bigger audience. So we really wanted to showcase them.
That's excellent. I love hearing that because that's what we like to try to do here at Coffee with Kenobi, give fans a voice to kind of give their opinion on topics and get their voice heard. And it's so important, I think, to the Star Wars community as well. And, you know, why, in your guys' opinions, is it important to foster a community such as this? I mean, you mentioned, you know, fans, you know, getting able to put their spotlight there. Their passion as far as what they like to do. But why is it important to do something like this for the community?
Well, I think for me, it's kind of been growing. Like, for me, I got into Star Wars when it was the dark times. In 91 was the first time I ever saw it on video. And it was a very singular internal experience. You know, I'd come home from school or all that summer, I'd like rewatch the movies all by myself. I'd read the EU novels, you know, myself. And it wasn't until I found some people that also love Star Wars that all of a sudden I got so excited because there was other people like me. And the first time I met someone like that, I almost couldn't speak because I was shaking so much. I was like, oh my God, you like Star Wars? You had this connection too? Like, I thought it was just me, you know? So I think that you form an unbreakable deep bond with these people. Mm-hmm. And I think it's important to foster that bond. I mean, you know, you meet someone who has that love of Star Wars like you, and already you're on the same level. And I think it's important that you know, like, everyone in the fan community is so nice and so great. I just think we need to keep on positively, like, reasserting that. Did you have anything to add?
Oh, I sure do. In my opinion, Star Wars fans are the greatest. And I say that because whenever we're talking to fans, there's always a thread, and that thread is charity work. There's just so much charity work that these people do with the 501st, the Rebel Legion. Our friend Sean Crosby is always doing something charitable. Scott Allen, who we just talked to, from the 501st, is always focusing on charities. Everyone's always focusing on charities. Our friend Simon Wilkie over in England every weekend is doing something with Make-A-Wish. And I think that is just so fantastic that these people see that they have a platform and they're going to use it to help other people. And that's such a great, the circle is now complete moment, because that's what Star Wars is all about, helping others in need.
That's a great point, Richard. And also, I want to just comment too that, you know, it gives fans and folks in the community a chance to reach out through Star Wars too, that maybe they're unsure in what to do and what to kind of how to express their fandom. And these folks, they're doing these great events, like you said, the charity events and things. They can go out and become part of the 501st and, you know, be a part of that and, you know, put smiles on people's faces and just enjoy what they do. For a good cause. So cheers to them and everyone that involved.
Oh, yeah, here. And they're just saying just that when they go and visit these kids in these hospitals who are sometimes terminal. They bring such a huge smile to their face. And what Scott Allen, he does a lot of Darth Vader appearances. He said it's a good thing he's wearing a helmet because sometimes he can tear up.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it just, and especially now, like it just, I don't know. I feel like I'm even more aware of it than I was before, just having a little boy of my own. And yeah, it's just so important. And what you're talking about is fostering community. Do you have other examples that you've seen in Phantom that helped to foster community? Because you're such good advocates for that.
Yeah, I do. The Ashley Eckstein's Her Universe Fangirl of the Day.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's an amazing community thing. And, you know, each morning she tweets out the new Fangirl of the Day. And I always go look. I try to retweet that. And that's actually how Trisha Barr and I met.
Oh, really?
And,
oh, cool.
Yeah. Yeah, it was through that. I was Fangirl of the Day. And she, I think, retweeted it. And Twitter's just a great way to meet fans too.
Yes.
Yeah. So now we're both on podcasts together. So it's pretty awesome.
Yeah. Social media really does help foster this fandom.
Yeah.
Like for instance, we were on the Star Wars Celebration Anaheim Facebook page, and there were a lot of people saying, "I don't know how to do this, and how do I do that? And if I cosplay this, will people think I'm weird? Should I cosplay as that? Where do I go? What do I do? What should I do first?" So that's how we came up with a segment on Skywalking Through Neverland called Skywalking to Celebration, where we have some fans come on and tell us how they're prepping for Celebration so other people can get a great idea of what the convention is all about, what to do to prepare, and just what to expect. And that's been such a huge hit when people will write back to us and say, "Oh, I'm so glad you guys brought this point up, and oh, I didn't even think about that. Thank you very much for that." And in the coming weeks, we're going to have a couple of more people on who have never been to a celebration. So they're going to get a chance to ask us, okay, what do I do there? What do I do? How do I schedule this out? And we can help them because we've been to, what, 5 celebrations at this point.
Yeah.
So we've got a good idea of how to work your way around a big convention like this. And people have been really responding very positively because they're getting a lot of answers they didn't know where else to get these answers from.
Right, and that's a great way to get people excited and psyched up, and also to help them feel a sense of comfort because there is that fear of the unknown. This will be my second celebration. I went to Celebration 3 in Indianapolis, and Corey's never been.
Yeah, this will be my first one, so I'm going to have to clue in some of those podcasts, absolutely.
Yeah, no kidding.
What to wear, sure. Yeah, exactly.
Well, I know what you'll wear, a Coffee with Kenobi.
That's true. Yeah. Hopefully some nice-looking pants, yes.
Yeah, just bring a lot of Starbucks gift cards because we'll not be getting any sleep.
There you go.
I know, that concerns me.
But all in good fun. I mean, I'm excited just to – we always talk about it here on the show. We meet fans. We like to have fans on too. And like I said, it fosters such a great community. And what a great way to you know, meet each other at Celebration, to be able to shake each other's hands and, you know, interact face-to-face with folks, and that we've been talking through the internet all this time and be able to just talk about our fandom in a just a fun environment. So that kind of brings me to the next question. How can we continue to build our fandom into a positive, productive culture and that embraces diversity? I know it's such on the forefront now. It seems to be like a hot button topic as far as films that are being made today and conversations they're having on the internet. What would be something that you guys would kind of express or from your side of the mic to be able to put that into Star Wars community?
Just like what we learned in the movies, help each other. And when we first started out doing Skywalking Through Neverland, we reached out to a lot of podcasters who took out their time and helped us to build our first show. That was very, very important. I was so happy to know that so many people in this podcasting community are all there to help each other and not trying to hold each other down because they want to be on top. We're all so different themes, that they were really willing to give us their secrets that they had learned years and years ago and stuff that they had spent maybe 5 or 10 years learning, they're telling us. And that was such a great way to help build that. Now, through Skywalking Through Neverland, we can help build other fans by helping them promote their Kickstarter campaigns for their short films, for their fan films, and tell people who's out there doing fandom related things. And we've had a couple of people on who have written songs and have done videos, and we've done interviews with them, and their views have gone up because now other people know who they are.
Yeah, kind of like a pay it forward a little bit, you know.
And yeah,
yeah.
When Dan and I first started, your story is similar to ours. When we first started our podcast, we reached out to a lot of other podcasters and folks that kind of helped us along the way. And like you said, they just opened their doors to us, and we're kind of blown away about the fact that, you know, they would just take their time just to foster us and kind of, you know, show us the ropes a little bit, and it helped us greatly.
Yeah,
I want to give a couple of shout outs here.
Sure.
To those who helped us out, like Jeff and Colleen Roney from the Once Upon a Time Fan podcast.
Oh, yes.
They were huge in helping us out. And Scott Murray from Assembly of Geeks.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out to those guys.
Absolutely. And actually, our podcasts have worked together rather well together behind the scenes quite a bit as well.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
With different contacts and different suggestions. And it's thanks to Sarah that we got our T-shirts up and rolling finally. So
we appreciate
that. Thank you again.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, you're welcome.
So crazy that they don't offer orange.
I know. It's sad. Yeah, we ran into that with Talking Apes TV because orange would be a great color.
Yeah.
They do it in the children's sizes.
Oh, good.
But that doesn't help.
Yeah, we really wanted a Dr. Zaius orange for Talking Apes TV, which they don't have. So we got to reach out to them and tell them to run down to Tees R Us and grab a big stack of oranges.
I'll just get a large kid's, and I'm pretty hairy, so I'll look like Dr. Zaius.
Nice.
So again, hearing you speak, it's nice. These are the perfect people to have on for this because you know about family. You're a family yourselves. You have a Star Wars family through Twitter, through Facebook, through different podcasts. I mean, as far as I can remember, you were the ones who started the hashtag Podcasters Unite. And it was fun just watching your experiences at Star Wars weekends last year and those pictures on Main Street of you with all the other great podcasters. So for you, what does Star Wars teach us about family? And how have you incorporated that into both your immediate family as well as your Star Wars family outreach with Skywalking Through Neverland?
I think first and foremost, like we've been saying, it's just helping each other.
Mm.
And we really do all help each other. And that's what Star Wars is all about, helping those in need. You know, Luke, he didn't really have much in the way of the rebellion against the Empire against the rebellion. He didn't really have a horse in that race, but he saw what the Empire was doing, destroying planets and bringing tyranny to the galaxy. So he put himself out there. He sacrificed himself for the betterment of the galaxy.
Sarah, anything?
I just think it's important with your Star Wars family to just keep promoting that positivity around. Like, you know, you see someone promoting their fan film or their podcast, you know, try to retweet or share or just comment, you know, just a little goes a long way. And I think that's how we try to keep incorporating family, our Star Wars family, into our lives. You know, we just try to see where everyone, you know, just help each other. I like what you said, Richard.
You guys are thinking about the burgers, aren't you?
No. That was a hard question.
I'm thinking about burgers.
I am too.
Me too.
What do you guys think? What do you guys think?
Yeah, I was gonna say, you know, it's definitely about helping each other, and I think some of the things, you know, the Star Wars community is a family community. I think we're all looking to promote each other's work and ideals, and support each other's messages to get it. Like I said, we podcast. That's our outlet. You know, some folks do all kinds of other stuff. You know, and certainly too, I think it's handing off to that next generation as well. I mean, I've got kids, Dan's got kids, and there's a lot of up and coming kids that are joining the fandom as it is today. And I think it's just incorporating good conversation, and just being able to, foster a community that's going to last, for the ages. I think, You guys put it perfectly. It's just helping one another as far as, you know, being positive in what you do and not being afraid of what you want to do either. You know,
right.
So like you guys said, I loved your idea about, you know, the road to to Anaheim and Celebration Anaheim and getting those folks that, that need help or who've been through it a million times that can do that and portray that in a way for other fans who are just getting started in their fandom in a positive and a supportive way.
Well, especially too, the positivity is the thing. And this is sort of the white elephant in the room or pink elephant in the room or whatever color the elephant is. We know that there's some negativity out there. And sure, we're not a podcast that likes to perpetuate that because that's just not who Corey and I are. And that's certainly not who the two of you are, which is one of the things that we love so much about you both. And it's very easy to tear people down, especially when you've never met them face to face and to throw rocks. But it's even more rewarding and successful to reach out, to retweet, to comment, to promote one another. We are all in this together. And as you said, Richard, we have the same passions, but we have different avenues and ways of exploring that, different vessels. We all are basically on the same waters of fandom and we have different ships. And let's take that and work together because we all want to talk about Star Wars and promote this passion that we have. Because in our day-to-day lives, I don't often see people who care about Star Wars the way that I do or that Corey does or that the two of you do. So this is how we can build each other up because this is a pretty exciting time to be a Star Wars fan and just to embrace the diversity of one another.
Yeah. Oh, here.
Yeah.
And I think positivity attracts positivity.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
And the fact that we love to do the whole positive spin on everything that we do. I mean, it's so easy to say, oh, we don't like this and we're going to mock it and we're just going to tear it down just for the sake of tearing it down because we have a platform to do that, mm-hmm. which unfortunately some podcasts do these days. And I've deleted so many because they've all gone onto this whole mocking negativity, mm-hmm. which why go that way?
Right.
You can be happy about something.
And this should be an escape. It should be something that you go to as an island from negativity, not the source of it.
Yeah, and there's ways of saying that you don't like something without tearing into it.
Tact.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. There's an old expression, hate the sin, love the sinner. You may not like how someone's opinion of something, but there's still people with feelings, and you're not always going to disagree. So it's okay to disagree, but it's not okay to be disagreeable.
That's cute. I like that.
Yeah, very good.
So as we've been talking about Star Wars and celebrations coming up, obviously it's about a month and some change away. We're all getting excited, packing our bags and things.
You're packing already?
I am. I'm packing my pants.
You know.
What can you tell us about the Star Walking Through Neverland podcast stage and what you guys have planned or some of the things that you have in store for fans?
Well, our show is going to be called Skywalking Through Neverland, an interactive fandom adventure.
Ooh.
Whoa. Yeah.
Well, first of all, it's happening Friday, 3 to 4 p.m. on the podcast stage. Mm-hmm. And Richard, take it away.
So we're not going to just relegate ourselves to podcasting. This is going to be formatted like a late night talk show.
Nice.
We're going to have guests. We're going to have games. We're going to have prizes. We're going to have raffles. Everyone's going to be involved. If you've come just to sit there and watch, well, sit in the back because there's going to be a lot of involvement here.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of involvement. And we've gotten Funko to sponsor prizes. We get a big box of Funko sitting right here. Rancho Obi-Wan is going to be our grand prize, and the winner will win a 2015 membership if they come in their Skywalking Through Neverland shirt.
I saw that. That's very cool. Are you just doing like sort of a raffle, or how can people win?
We are going to have a raffle.
We're going to have raffles.
And then, yes, I think, well, we haven't quite worked out the details yet, but I think the raffle tickets will be put in to play games to win.
So when people come in, they will get a raffle. And sometimes that raffle will determine if you're going to be the one to play a game or to win a prize.
Oh, that sounds so fun.
Yeah.
Wow. And our composer, Rob Dellinger, the John Williams of podcasting, he's going to be there. He's going to compose a live Skywalker of the Week jingle for one lucky winner.
Wow.
That's so cool.
Are we eligible? Are we?
Yeah, what do we how do we do this? We have to do like handstands? What do we got to do?
Yeah, just show up at 3 o'clock,
yeah.
get your raffle ticket, and you are automatically entered.
We will definitely be there.
Yeah, so we pretty much have 3 hours of fun condensed into 60 minutes.
Yeah, we'll see how that is going to work out.
Yeah.
It sounds amazing. Now, and since it is interactive, will we need ponchos?
Yeah.
Well, this is not Nickelodeon.
This is not a Gallagher concert.
Okay. Or like SeaWorld.
yeah, the splash zone.
You know, there's two sides of the splash zone and the fire zone.
Oh.
Okay, that makes me think the game zone. That's a good idea. We should have people who want to play games sit in the game zone.
There you go.
we're here to help.
Yeah, we're here to help.
Yeah, so it's going to be a great time. And we got a 75 people already signed up.
I think 84.
84
when I
people
last
signed up.
We'll
wow.
see who comes, because you never know what panels are going to be against us, but you know,
right?
You never know.
Yeah, but, so yeah. it's going to be a great time, and I just can't wait for this, because Sarah and I are game coordinators for Company Picnics by trade.
Yeah. Mm.
So this is our arena.
Oh, how wonderful! we're excited. It's going to be pretty awesome. And speaking of awesome, we get to ask you. You had us on. And we were able to.
You know what, Dan? I'm going to cut in here for 1 second. I'm so sorry. Joey Pittman, one of our great Skywalkers, he's also donated some prizes for us. Have a shout out for Joey Pittman, who donated some comic books and some toys and some really fun stuff. And he donated some stuff for our last listener party. And Joey, thank you very much for all your donations.
Yeah, and there's still some prizes that we're working on with some more Skywalkers.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There's some pretty big stuff coming. Well, we're still working out the details.
Yes.
So, you know what? Just come with a gift basket.
Sounds reasonable. Yes, you bet. I think it's going to be so much fun. Your passion is contagious, and your enthusiasm is awesome. So we are very excited to go there Friday from 3:00 to 4:00 in room 208AB. Correct?
Yes. That is correct. Yes,
that's right. Absolutely. Well, that's where we will be on Thursday. We hope you'll join us there from 11:30 to 12:30. Podcasters unite! What can you say?
And you guys get to be first up. That's awesome.
That's right.
Yeah, keep in mind, too, that J.J. Abrams and Kathleen Kennedy are on, and then about an hour later, it's us. So that might be kind of hectic, but fun.
Yeah, well, we're looking forward to your podcast stage as well.
Well, thank you. There's going to be trained monkeys. So we're excited
about
that.
Trained monkeys, and yes.
Really?
No. I think trained monkeys are us, yeah.
Exactly.
Oh, that's funny.
All right, so yes, we were on show number 65 with you both, and it was so much fun. And you had some really great questions for us. So we have some questions for you. It is, of course, our 5 questions that we ask each guest on Coffee with Kenobi. And we'll go with ladies first. Sarah, what is your favorite Star Wars movie?
Traditionally, it has always been Empire Strikes Back, because it has the love story.
Aww.
And I'm a total shipper.
Can't argue with that. What about you, Richard?
I don't have a favorite Star Wars movie. I have a go-to Star Wars movie.
Mm, okay.
My go-to Star Wars movie is Attack of the Clones.
Really?
Wow.
I love Attack of the Clones. I love Hayden Christensen as Anakin Skywalker. I think he's fantastic. And I don't see where people have problems with him. I just don't see that. I love the story behind it. I love the whodunit aspect of the plot. I love the Jango Obi-Wan fight. And the fact that this is where we first get to see the beginning of the Clone Wars.
And don't forget the Sound of Music scene.
And the Sound of Music scene. Exactly.
Yes.
With Anakin and Padme rolling around.
Rolling around. Yes.
Yeah. And it's the way that the Clone Wars is shot and structured. I just love that scene. I can watch that again and again and again and always see something new. It just takes you out of what Star Wars always had been to that point and gives you a whole new spin on these battle scenes.
You don't hear a lot of advocacy for Attack of the Clones. So I appreciate you saying that.
Yeah,
I love
too.
Attack of the Clones as well.
Yeah. And we've been listening to your show since the beginning, and
everyone always says
The Empire Strikes Back. And I just want to give some pure shout out to Attack of the Clones. And I can't wait to see it at Celebration Anaheim in 3D.
That's right.
No.
That's
you know
right.
What? I'm going to skip our own panel.
Hey.
So I may not be at our panel, Sarah?
No, it's going to be at night.
So let me retract that. I will be at our Skywalking Neverland, an interactive fandom adventure show.
That's good.
Very good.
Nice plug.
Very good. So moving to our second question, what is your favorite character? Or who is your favorite character, Richard?
You know what? I'm going to say Luke Skywalker, just because he's always been my favorite character. Someone I could always relate to, because I can never relate to the Han Solo type. I was always the kid just trying to figure out his way in the galaxy. And his struggles became my struggles. And growing up, when you're in those teenage years, when you don't know what to do, I would always say, what would Luke do? And that would really help me through a situation, because I wouldn't really have to be myself. I would, at that point, take over the persona of Luke Skywalker, and no matter what I was facing, I could get through it because I wasn't me, I was Luke. I was pretty much taking on Luke Skywalker, and boy, did that really help me out during high school.
Plus, you looked like him.
And I looked like you get the blonde hair, the blue eyes.
Mm-hmm. Well, there you go. Our hunkiest guest so far.
Well, I think so.
Hashtag that.
That's all that matters. That's right.
And Sarah, how about you?
I think I have to say Han Solo, because I always had a big crush on Han Solo. And
so you would have ignored me in high school too.
Well, I don't know. Did you look like Han Solo back then?
No, more like Luke.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
I would have been dissed.
No, I need those scruffy nerf herders.
Oh, that wasn't me.
Who's scruffy looking?
I know, exactly. Yeah, I've never really been into the bad boy, except, I mean, Han Solo, I wouldn't consider him a bad boy. He's just, because he has that heart of gold.
Yeah, because he flies by his own rules.
He does. True. He does. And it's kind of that alpha male thing. So I was always attracted to, you know, him and that. And that's why he's my favorite character of Star Wars.
Well, and he wears a white shirt with just a little bit of black over it. So there's just that nice little blend there, too.
Exactly.
Symbolism, Corey. So what is your favorite line of dialogue or film moment?
Okay, for me, I would have to say, and it goes, I'm a big music person. I mean, John Williams, of course, like we talked about. John Williams is from Star Wars, is my favorite soundtrack ever. And so my favorite movie moment has to do with the music, and that is Luke looking out at the binary sunset with that gorgeous French horn solo, and then the orchestra swells, and you just know that Luke is staring out, he's hoping, but he doesn't really know what he's hoping for, and everything about A New Hope and Star Wars is encapsulated in that one moment in that music.
Good answer, good answer.
Very good answer.
My favorite line is from Darth Vader in The Empire Strikes Back, when Luke is trying to find him in the carbon freezing chamber, and the lights go on, and you just hear this dark, bellowing voice saying, "The Force is with you, young Skywalker, but you are not a Jedi yet." Which is kind of like a push-pull, mixed signals thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the Force is with you, but you're not really a Jedi, so it's very antagonistic. And just the way James Earl Jones delivers that line, whenever we're watching The Empire Strikes Back, that's the part where I turn the volume up to 11.
Nice.
You know what? This is the first time when someone's favorite film moment is mine too. That's cool.
What, you turn yours up to 11?
You, Richard? Yeah, yeah. But just with them, and even more so, like when they're standing there staring at each other, and there's no music and no dialogue, and they're just the silhouettes of them. I just think that's beautiful.
Oh, yeah, very much is. But that's my favorite line, even though I really love the Yoda line, "Do or do not, there is no try." Mm-hmm. Just that Darth Vader line, when I hear that, I just get goosebumps. But my favorite moment, I would say, comes once again in Attack of the Clones, when you have Anakin and Padme sitting at the dinner table at the Lars homestead, the same set they used for Star Wars, mm-hmm. and Kleeg Lars is telling Anakin about his mother and how the Tuskens came and took her, and Anakin just gets up. And he knows he's got something to do. He gets up and just heads right out, which once again is one of those selfless moments that he knows that there's danger out there, but he's going to go and get his mother back, and that's it, and that's final. He's just a family-oriented Jedi, which is kind of an oxymoron right there. But he really had a love for his mother, and there was nothing that was going to stop him. And just Hayden's performance in that scene, I think, is just phenomenal.
Very well said. Very well said. So the next question is, if you collect, what is your favorite collectible that you own?
For me, it would have to be the 97 Star Wars soundtracks, the special edition Star Wars and Return of the Jedi and Empire Strikes Back.
The two disc sets?
The two disc sets.
Yeah.
And those beautiful black what are they, books, booklets, really. They're black booklets. They are amazing. So those are my original favorite collectibles. But now I recently received as a gift a new collectible, a Han Solo doll. The, what is it, 13-inch or 15-inch from the Disney store?
Oh, yeah. Yep.
That speaks, you know, and the blaster. Yeah, he's amazing. He sits in our kitchen, and we kind of use him as a magic eight ball.
Remember, we need a go-to answer. We just ask Han.
That's hilarious.
He always talks first, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Whatever he says goes. He says, "Whose scarf you looking?" Well, that's how we're gonna set our day.
I love it.
Well, we just don't know. Yeah. Okay. Wait. Hold on. Here's Sarah with the Han Solo action figure.
All right.
I call him an action figure. She calls him a doll.
Ask a question.
Who's scruffy looking?
We're calling the tractor beam and pulling us in.
Oh, well. Well, there you go.
Yeah, that's just his way of saying.
I don't think I set up Harrison Ford very well with my question.
Let's see what he says next.
What are you looking at?
So, you know what? We hear that. We hear no matter who's trying to hold you down, who's looking at you in a negative way, you just keep on going with your day.
That's right. I like that.
And say hey, because it'll be okay.
Exactly.
Sorry, I couldn't resist.
Richard, how about you? What's your favorite collectible you own?
George Lucas DNA.
What's this from?
Some spittle or something like that?
That's how that restraining order.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, yes, let's go with that. At Celebration Zero, that was the Star Wars 10th Anniversary Convention, George was up on stage and he had a glass of water. And after his Q&A panel was done, he put that down and I raced to the stage and I took that.
Did you really?
Are you serious?
Yeah, I also took Anthony Daniels' glass and Peter Mayhew's glass.
Wow,
that is cool.
Yeah, so even though the Stouffer Hotel changed into, I believe it's now the Hilton, I owe you 3 water glasses.
Wow.
So, but I'll go on from there because that's not really a is DNA.
It's definitely a one of a kind.
He has one of a
kind.
Although
I'm sure
exactly.
He's had water since then. Let's hope.
Yeah, and since then, you can only get so much stuff before you run out of space.
Yes, mm-hmm. Very true.
That's just what happened here. So we tend to go on the collectibles that are more user-friendly.
Useful, yeah.
It's like stuff that you can use every day, like the R2-D2 pepper grinder or the Darth Vader steering wheel cover.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
or
yeah.
Lightsaber umbrella or lightsaber lamp.
Stormtrooper spatula.
So stuff that you can use and not just put in a room and you hardly ever look at it or box it up and put it in your garage.
Do you have that R2-D2 car phone charger?
Yes, we do.
Oh, is it cool?
It's very cool because whenever you start your car, he beeps for about 5 minutes.
Whoa, cool.
Like, all right, R2, I get the message and keeps on beeping. Yes, I know. No more burgers today. That's right.
We're going to crash in the Dagobah. I get it.
Because it's just surrounded by Star Wars stuff. I love it.
Yeah, pretty much. We have the large figures surrounding our television. We're a sucker for the holiday ornaments and stuff you get at like Target or Walmart.
And plushes.
And plushes.
Like Tauntauns.
Oh, yeah.
And plush Tauntauns, yeah. Yeah, so we get a Wampa on our bed, a Wookiee on our bed. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I'll see this Han Solo doll on the bed.
Han, how'd you get up there?
So, yeah, to answer your question, yeah, we're pretty much surrounded by Star Wars and Disney.
That's wonderful. So what particular messages or themes about the Star Wars saga resonate or speak to you?
For me, I think it's hope. Like I said, Luke looking into that binary sunset, you know, he's hoping his life will change. He's hoping. And for me, that always struck me. So when I watched other movies, like Tangled, for instance, and, you know, she's looking out the window at the floating lanterns and she's hoping, like, any time that happens in a movie, I just tear up. And I think that has a lot to do with the message that Star Wars has of hope.
Now, in 1977, when I first saw Star Wars in its first run, yes, I was there, And there was a message that really stuck out to me, and it's pretty much run my whole life up until this moment, and that is, never land on Alderaan.
That's a good message. Good one.
And here we are today.
Yeah,
right, here made we it. Are today.
Oh, you're fun.
So guys, where can people get in touch with you if they want to ask you a question or just say hello?
Absolutely. You can find us. You can search Skywalking Through Neverland. And we are at skywalkingthroughneverland.com. And we're also wherever podcatchers can be found. So we're on iTunes. We're on Stitcher. And we love it when people tweet at us. We are at Skywalking Pod. And I'm also at Jedi Tink. So that's the Star Wars and Disney and me. And where else? Oh, yeah, Facebook, of course, too. Search Skywalking Through Neverland on Facebook.
And you can also be reached at Fangirls Going Rogue, too.
Oh, yes, absolutely. I know you invited us on as Skywalking Through Neverland, but yes, I'm a recent addition to Fangirls Going Rogue, which is on the Shot Glass Digital Network on the Rebel Force radio feed. And there you can find me as well. And Richard.
Yeah, we also do another spinoff to Skywalking Through Neverland called Talking Apes TV. That's where me and the Skywalking Through Neverland creative consultant, Mark Wagoshewitz, he and I talk about the TV series from 1974 to find out why it still stands up after 40 years.
The Planet of the Apes TV series.
The Planet of the Apes TV series. So we'll go through each episode and go really in-depth to this show that is really fun because being made in 1974, you really see a lot of sign of the times and how that still stands up after four decades.
Like apes and bell-bottoms?
Apes and bell-bottoms. Shaq, Duke. And water beds,
bean
bags, and just a microphone.
Sideburns?
Yeah, you definitely can't go wrong through Skywalking Through Neverland, whether it's Twitter, Facebook, their wonderful podcast. They're just great people. We thank you both so much and cannot wait to meet you at Celebration and also look forward to many more podcasting experiences with you both in the future.
Oh, absolutely. Likewise. Yes. Likewise. Thank you for having us on. It's been our pleasure. And remember, Neverland on Alderaan.
Our topic for show number 35 is Celebration Anaheim. How do you feel about this amazing convention? What are your plans for this exciting event? What are you most excited to see? Have you been to Celebration before? And if so, what advice do you have for the first-time attendees, as well as the seasoned veteran? Are you planning on attending Disneyland? And how about the podcasting stage? Joining us on this topic is Amy Radcliffe from Full of Sith and StarWars.com to share her insights. In 300 words or less, be sure to send us an email or MP3 with your thoughts, comments, questions, and opinions to feedback@coffeewithkenobi.com.
I like the sound of that.
Echo 3 to Echo 7. Honno, buddy, do you read me?
I saw part of the message.
I seem to have found it.
Our first email comes from Huey Cox, and he writes, "Hi, Cup of Ben. I remember Kathleen Kennedy saying the standalone films wouldn't focus on any of the core characters from the episode films. Do you think these plans have changed with rumors of a Han Solo Boba Fett film? I personally like to see original characters and stories in the standalone films. It would also be cool if they explore different time periods. Your show is really insightful. Keep up the good work." And then we started to interact a little bit, and he said he wanted to make sure they clarified he wants to see completely new characters in standalone films. The more entry points into the saga, the more lively the franchise will be. Love to see them either take place in the presence of hundreds of years in the past or the present. Anything that was a direct prequel to what we already know would be kind of disappointing. But I think comics and books are a great place to revisit old characters, especially now that it's all canon. So, thank you very much, Huey, for that. And as far as rumors of Han Solo Boba Fett films, what's that, Corey?
Well, he said Cup of Ben. I'm assuming Ben Kenobi is our former name, I guess.
he's asking us to talk about rumors.
Yeah, we don't divulge a whole bunch of rumors here. Of course, the swirls are on the internet. We talked about earlier about rumors, and just kind of we detract from that a little bit. I don't know of anything about this, so I can't speak to it too much. As a fan, what I would like to see, certainly any Star Wars film that centers on a central character would be fine with me. Anything Star Wars is fine with me, as far as I'm concerned. You know, whether they do, you know, the main three characters, Luke, Han, or Leia, or something. But, you know, he made a good point, too. You know, we do divulge into this a little bit into the comics land, which is done famously right now in Marvel Comics, or have the, you know, the three new lines here that are doing really well. You've got most of those, as far as I know, and so in that genre and that capacity, they've done really well. So I couldn't see why a film couldn't do just as well.
Well, and I love that what Huey said here too. He said, "I think I pronounced his name three different ways. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry, my friend. I even spelled it phonetically too." I think that it would be cool. I don't think that the big three should be standalone focus, and I don't think that Huey does either. I do think it would be fun to make it a new character. There's always the speculation about who Sarah Michelle Gellar is going to play on Rebels, and I think it would. And I saw Mark Newbold tweet this out too, or on Facebook. I prefer to be somebody original.
Yeah,
I mean, one of my issues with the first Darth Vader comic is at the end there's some familiar characters that show up, and I'm thinking, well, come on. Let's get some originality here. I think that these characters that are established are wonderful, and we love them. We have action figures and statues and T-shirts full of them. But because this is such a huge, amazing tapestry, I like to see original stuff too. So, I mean, in a perfect world for me, the standalone films would be connected to each other, but they also could kind of be their own little thing, like what Marvel does. That's always a template to me.
Well, the other thing too is, you know, it's hard to recast those kind of things, those classic characters, in the right light and get it just right. I think that's more like it's like, you know, they break the mold after that type stuff, and it's very difficult, and it's very very hard on, I think, fandom as far as folks wanting, you know, that young character back, whether it be, like I said, a Han Solo or whatever. But, you know, another thought here is, you know, so much things that did well for the EU series and all the video games and stuff were original characters. People really, you know, got in line with that and really enjoyed meeting new characters and following their adventures. So I don't see why that wouldn't work in film as well. So it's I don't know, I'm kind of a mind of both areas. Again, I don't really care as long as it's Star Wars. The next email comes from Max Filner, and they write, "Hey, lighten up. Nobody gets killed until the next episode. Spoiler alert. The report is no casualties. You guys are dark. Remember, this is Disney. You really think they are killing these guys right and left? It's Ezra and Kanan, for goodness sake. Keep up the good work. Enjoy listening." And that's Mags Filner. Mags, you know, it's an interesting discussion about if they're killing stormtroopers on Rebels or not. Now, one instance that I know of for sure that Pablo Hidalgo talked about was the scene where Chopper shoots some of the stormtroopers out into the airlock and they go out in space. Yeah. And the commentary there was their armor you know, sealed tight or airtight so they could survive? And he said, no, it wasn't. So obviously in space you cannot breathe and no one can hear you scream. So it's a matter of, you know, it's life and death. It's a rebellion. It's a war. It's what's going on.
Didn't he say that the armor is airtight, but they have a small air supply?
They have a small air supply, but I think that they have to have that breathing apparatus on there.
Yeah.
So, I mean, in the instance too, you know, the folks that are getting shot by laser blasts, and heck, the premiere episode,
Spark of Rebellion.
Spark of Rebellion. Had, you know, what was one of the last scenes had Kanan picking up Ezra from the ghost ship. So Agent Kallus is hanging on by a thread there by the ledge, and the stormtrooper makes a joke or something. He kicks him off. Now, where does this guy land? He obviously falls into the depths of the ground floor of whatever, but
the ground floor.
I don't know how that works. But you know, you think about Disney. Disney kills a lot of folks.
Yes. When I read this, yeah. Mags and I emailed back and forth a little bit, and it was very fun. Mags is very cool, very smart. And yes, and I'm glad you brought that example up, Corey. Agent Kallus kills a stormtrooper in cold blood because he's frustrated.
Mm-hmm.
We're not the one who's dark. We're just calling it as we see it. Disney, it's rare for a Disney film for there to be both parents. In many of the films, whether it's Bambi's mother, Simba's dad, For goodness, Anna and Elsa's parents, people die. I mean, Disney has a lot of elements of dark to it, and it also has elements of light. And you're talking about, as you said, a rebellion. So there's going to be a war. There's going to be conflict. There's going to be a loss of life. And it's got to be a challenge for the animators, I'm sure, and for Dave and everyone. But it sure has been a wonderful show, and I cannot wait for season two. And it'd be interesting to see where the level of violence progresses, because the stakes have been raised. So it'll be fascinating to see what happens.
Our next email comes from Chad LaForce, and he says, "Hey guys, you might enjoy the colored technical art I've made for the new Kylo Force Awakens Tri-Saber Crossguard Saber over at trisaber.com. Just sharing, best." That's Chad LaForce. Chad, I checked that out. It's pretty cool. He's got like kind of this, like, what do you call it, like a peel away type design. It obviously looks like he's done an animation work here on this. It's kind of cool as far as, you know, the way the saber might possibly work. He's obviously referencing back to the Force Awakens teaser trailer we saw back in December of the Tri-Saber, the unknown figure in the forest was holding. I'm fascinated to see how this is going to play out in the film and how they're going to be represented. But, you know, he's got it broken down here to kind of some of the different types of different designs as far as components and what goes in it, possibly. Just as the other thing, too, here is Chad's got such a great imaginary force here. Force, did I say that?
You did.
And but he breaks it down pretty down, right down to the crystal of the saber. So I would encourage folks who are interested in something like this to go check it out. And you kind of got some background. Look kind of like it's pulled right from some kind of archive of some sort. But check it out, see what you think, and let Chad know.
Our next email comes from Dennis Keithley, who is a recent guest of Rebels Reactions, and he writes, "If it isn't too late to participate, here's my thought on Star Wars and relationships. The prequel trilogy is a fine example of why most relationships cannot be hidden. In Attack of the Clones, Padme admonishes Anakin that they cannot afford to be in love because they couldn't accept the consequences. For her, it would interfere with her role as a galactic senator, and it would mean Anakin's expulsion from the Jedi Order. When he responds that they could keep it a secret, she responds that they couldn't live like that. They would be living a lie. When asked if he could live that way, Anakin prophetically states, 'No, it would destroy us.' This is exactly what happened. With their relationship a secret, Anakin had nobody he could confide in to find the help he needed to save Padme from her visions, except Palpatine. Palpatine was able to prey on Anakin's fears to lead him down a dark path. In the end, Anakin succumbed to the dark side, and Padme died in their marriage along with her. This is a drastic example, but the bottom line is that successful relationships need support in order to flourish. On an unrelated and personal note, my wife and I got engaged the night the special edition of A New Hope was released to theaters. I can't watch that movie without thinking back to that special evening, and I am fortunate to have a spouse that shares an interest in science fiction, fantasy, and adventure." Again, that's from Dennis, and thank you, Dennis, for sharing that with us. That's awesome. What a cool memory, and Star Wars already meant so much to you, and now it's just on a whole other level of amazing. So that's great. And I love your insights onto Padme and Anakin. You're absolutely right. You know, relationships, you need to support one another to flourish. And I couldn't say it any better myself. And thank you for calling back to our show, Our Wives. I think that may have been the most fun show for me personally that I've ever recorded, and insanely biased, and rightfully so.
Our next email comes from Jennifer Regis. She says, "Hello, I wanted to write you guys because I just discovered you last week as I was looking for some Star Wars podcast to really help me understand the Star Wars universe. You see, I'm a new Star Wars fan, really new, and the whole world can seem a bit intimidating to me. But one of the things I love about it is that the philosophy and how deep it can be. I especially love listening to your analysis of many different topics in the Star Wars universe. Now onto my question. I love the Star Wars Clone Wars series by Genndy Tartakovsky, and I was wondering, do you think that the series will ever be embraced back into the Star Wars brand with open arms? It is such a beautiful animated series, and while the episodes were short, I love how it is able to evoke lots of emotion without the characters saying very much. Almost like Tartakovsky other series, Samurai Jack. If you haven't seen it, please check it out. You won't regret. Do you think it's possible that it could get a Star Wars Legends banner? I feel like it is such a waste to have
people forget about such a great series, and that makes me sad that Lucasfilm is treating it what like an ugly stepchild, also known as Star Wars Christmas Special. Thoughts? As from Jennifer Regis. Jennifer, you know, I think that Tartakovsky series has a special place in a lot of fans' hearts. Mm-hmm. You know, I wasn't really keen into it when it started off at first either. I think Dan kind of really reeled me into the Clone Wars all overall. So I did kind of start with that. I remember it popping up. I want to say it popped up somewhere.
Well, these were the ones that, you know, they came out there just 2 minutes
right.
long, and then they combine them all together on the DVD. And the DVD yeah. right now currently, which is out of print, is the only way that you can see them. Do you have these?
I think you let me borrow this.
Did I? Did you give it back? You gave it back. Oh, because I know I have them. Right. Apparently I had them until my pillows.
Yeah, sorry about that.
I'm going to send Boba Fett after you.
Yeah. No, I think, I mean, her passion here is, you know, obviously the style in this her love for this series, because, like I said before, I don't think it's lost on anybody. I don't think fans have forgotten this. But definitely, I think this was kind of a shot in the dark for Star Wars and Lucasfilm in the beginnings. I think they were just trying it out and seeing how it's going to feel as far as a full-blown cartoon series at its early stages. So it really, rightly so, has a good point in Star Wars fandom, I think, as far as, you know, making Clone Wars and even Rebels for what it is today. So, I mean, I don't think fans discount it. Maybe Lucasfilm does. I don't know how to
discount it. She mentioned, is it, I'd like to see it get the Legends banner. I think mm-hmm. it is. I think it does have the Legends banner. I mean, the only reason it doesn't is because, you know, it's not out in the public domain because mm-hmm. the DVD is out of print, but you can get it on Amazon or eBay, you know, fairly easily. And I think it was overshadowed because of Clone Wars, the Dave Filoni Clone Wars series, which is canon and was always canon pretty much. That overshadowed it, but not because for any reason other than it was newer. And obviously, George Lucas worked closely and intimately on that series. So that means a lot to me. But I love the Tartakovsky series. I think it's wonderful. I think the last couple episodes where Grievous goes and kidnaps Palpatine are phenomenal. I would go so far as to say that version of Grievous is the best version of Grievous that is out there, including Revenge of the Sith.
That's a big, tall order there, pal.
Yeah, but I mean, he's scary. He's intimidating. He's ruthless. He doesn't just twitch his mustache and run away. He attacks, and he is lethal and scary. So I highly recommend that.
Yeah, and Jennifer, you know, as your points thought out that you had just discovered us and kind of getting into the Star Wars fan community, I would encourage you to just engage, you know, get online and talk to folks like we talked earlier. You know, there's a lot of folks out there that are into this stuff. I would, you know, tweet about it, see what people say. I'm sure there's a lot of folks out there that have a lot of positive things to say about that series. And, you know, more power to you, and thanks for listening.
Yeah, welcome. Thank you so much for being a part of Coffee with Kenobi. I'm glad you found us. Our last email comes from Andrew from Grand Rapids, and he writes, I know this is completely out of left field, but I was recently listening to old episodes of the podcast and got to the one about Darth Maul, and I had to email and contribute to the discussion. Sorry for the unrelated email. Well, Andrew, please don't apologize. We are so happy to have you. And he writes further, anyway, Darth Maul is my favorite Star Wars character, and I enjoy the episode, but I think you guys miss a huge aspect of Maul as a character. My favorite aspect, at least. I love Maul because he's ultimately a tragic character. He was taken from Dathomir as a child and raised to be a killing machine. The most sour expression of this comes in a Lawless on the Clone Wars. Sidious kills Maul's brother and then puts Maul down easily. At that point, we see the return of that scared child who was being raised to become the ultimate Sith weapon. He's much more than just an obstacle for the heroes to get through or a cool-looking character that has cool martial arts with a lightsaber. To me, he's one of the most tragic characters in all of Star Wars, on top of being a cool Sith assassin that is fueled by rage instilled in him from childhood. Thanks for entertaining my late-night ramblings about Maul, but I am very passionate about the character. Love the show, guys. Keep up the great work. Well, Andrew, thank you so much. That is, in fact, a very important aspect of Maul that we didn't really capitalize on when we were talking with Jordan Mason when he was on. I agree. I think for me, Darth Maul is a bit clouded because the comic book series that Dark Horse put out, which I haven't really heard a heck of a lot about. I know I was not thrilled with it personally. But he is tragic when you consider that he basically didn't have a choice in who he became. I mean, later you could argue that as an adult, you always have a choice, but he was almost brainwashed to become a member of the Sith, and that's mm-hmm. horrible. So, I mean, and you're talking about some of the most powerful episodes in all of animation anyway, with the Lawless as it is. But yeah, I should have thought of that before. I'm glad you brought it up. And that is, my friend, why you are here with us. Thanks again for being a listener.
Not only that, Dan, but I want to say too, you know, Maul, I think, was just a pawn too. I mean, everybody's got their story, and obviously he was, you know, used to further the Emperor's moves. You know, he's using everybody as a chess piece in this big game. Even Anakin, you know, I think is a giant chess piece. So it's not so much. I mean, it's tragic in that sense. I guess he hit it just dead on there. But I think too, it's still he's a moving piece. And so, you know, the way, he's put out in episode one and even in like some of the series and stuff, it's, he's there, but I think he's like you said, he's kind of got a larger story to tell, and we just haven't seen all that yet. And Dan, like you mentioned too, the comic series doesn't flush that out entirely. Certainly there's more to talk about and more to put together, but I certainly liked your thoughts here, Andrew. Thank you so much.
Chewie, get us out of here!
If you would like to respond to our question of the show, have a comment, or just want to say hello, send us an email or MP3 at feedback@coffeewithkenobi.com. Or if you have a specific question or comment for either of us individually, email us at danz@coffeewithkenobi.com or coreyc@coffeewithkenobi.com. Or visit us at coffeewithkenobi.com and click on the Contact Us section or comment on one of the stories featured on the site. If you enjoy the show, please write a review in iTunes or Stitcher. You can also like the show on Facebook at facebook.com/coffeewithkenobi, as well as keep up to date at our Twitter feed @coffeewithkenobi. You can also find us on Tumblr at coffeewithkenobi.tumblr.com. If you enjoy the jazz music, the album is Eye to Eye by Steve Torak.
Give the evacuation code signal.
That's it for show number 34 of Coffee with Kenobi. A huge thank you to Richard and Sarah from Skywalking Through Neverland for joining us and sharing their thoughts on building community in Star Wars fandom. Be sure to check out their awesome podcast on iTunes and follow them on Twitter @SkywalkingPod.
Thanks also to Rob from the Bearded Trio, media specialist Lisa Dullard, our Coffee with Kenobi bloggers, and to everyone who contributed to this show, and to all of you out there who listen and email Coffee with Kenobi. Don't forget to send us your comments and opinions on the topic for show number 35, Celebration Anaheim.
This is the podcast you're looking for.
This podcast is not endorsed by the Walt Disney Company or Lucasfilm Limited. It is intended for entertainment and informational purposes only. The official Star Wars website can be found at www.starwars.com. Star Wars, all names, sounds, and any other Star Wars related items are registered trademarks and or copyrights of Disney and their respective trademark and copyright holders. All original content of this podcast is the intellectual property of Coffee with Kenobi unless otherwise indicated.
There's no one here. Move along.